Turning now for our scripture reading, congregation, let us turn to the Word of God for our instruction. We turn to the book of Acts and the chapter 7. The book of Acts, the chapter 7. And reading from the verse 54, we read on through to the chapter 8 and the verse 3, and then the chapter 9 and the verse 1 to 9. And you'll see very clearly how these all connect. This is the Word of God. Come, let us hear God's word, beginning in Acts chapter 7 and the verse 54. When they heard these things, they were cut to the heart, and they gnashed on him with their teeth. But he, being full of the Holy Ghost, looked up steadfastly into heaven and saw the glory of God and Jesus standing on the right hand of God, and said, Behold, I see the heavens opened, and the Son of Man standing on the right hand of God. Then they cried out with a loud voice, and stopped their ears, and ran upon him with one accord, and cast him out of the city, and stoned him. And the witnesses laid down their clothes at a young man's feet, whose name was Saul. And they stoned Stephen, calling upon God and saying, Lord Jesus, receive my spirit. And he kneeled down and cried with a loud voice, Lord, lay not this sin to their charge. And when he had said this, he fell asleep. And Saul was consenting unto his death. And at that time, there was a great persecution against the church, which was at Jerusalem. And they were all scattered abroad throughout the regions of Judea and Samaria, except the apostles. And devout men carried Stephen to his burial and made great lamentation over him. As for Saul, he made havoc of the church, entering into every house and hailing men and women, committed them to prison. And then the chapter 9, the verse 1. And Saul, yet breathing out his threatenings and slaughter against the disciples of the Lord, went unto the high priest, and desired of him letters to Damascus, to the synagogues, that if he found any of this way, whether they were men or women, he might bring them bound unto Jerusalem. And as he journeyed, he came near Damascus, and suddenly there shined round about him a light from heaven, and he fell to the earth, and heard a voice saying unto him, Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me? And he said, Who art thou, Lord? And the Lord said, I am Jesus, whom thou persecutest. It is hard for thee to kick against the pricks. And he, trembling and astonished, said, Lord, what wilt thou have me to do? And the Lord said unto him, Arise and go into the city, and it shall be told thee what thou must do. And the men which journeyed with him stood speechless, hearing a voice, but seeing no man. And Saul arose from the earth, and when his eyes were opened, he saw no man. But they led him by the hand, and brought him into Damascus. And he was there 3 days without sight, and neither did eat nor drink. Amen. And we'll end the public reading of God's holy word there. And may the Lord be pleased to grant his own blessing to that reading of his sacred word, and then to the preaching of his most holy, infallible, inerrant, and sacred word. Congregation, turning once again your prayerful attention to those words that I read to you there in the book of the Acts of the apostles of the Lord Jesus Christ, turning to Acts chapter 9, and this evening taking for my text the words of the Lord Jesus found in the verse 5, I am Jesus, whom thou persecutest. It is hard for thee to kick against the pricks. I am Jesus, who thou persecutest. It is hard for thee to kick against the pricks. We see two statements of the Lord Jesus Christ here that have very profound and everlasting significance. Number one, he says, I am Jesus, whom thou persecutest. He's speaking to the Apostle Paul. No, not the Apostle Paul. He's speaking to Saul of Tarsus, who would become the Apostle Paul. And he says, I am Jesus, whom thou persecutest. That's the first statement. And then the second statement, it is hard for thee to kick against the pricks. And the Apostle Paul, or here he is Saul, has a problem that every human heart has. He kicks against the pricks. And that is the subject that I want to take up this evening. How hard it is, and sinners do it, how hard it is, how painful it is, to kick against the pricks. We thank the Lord for the pricks of His Word. And God's Word is a goad, as we're told in Ecclesiastes. And I pray that the Lord will bring these to our view and lay these thoughts to our hearts this evening, these words here. Now, by way of introduction, let us consider the occasion of these words spoken. When did the Lord Jesus Christ speak these words to Saul of Tarsus? Well, we read from the chapter 7, if you remember, and you may just wish to turn there for a moment. Stephen, beloved disciple, the first martyr of the church, has just been preaching to the Jews all about God's Word, which he spoke through the prophets in the Old Testament, and they preached God's Word, and they preached about the Saviour to come, they preached about the law, they preached all of these things about sin, about repentance, and about forgiveness of sins, and then about salvation that is found in Jesus Christ alone, not by a man's works. Man is not saved by his works, but he's saved by Christ alone. And these men did, as they have always done, they resisted the Holy Spirit. They resisted, that is, the word of the Holy Spirit. Of course, all of Scripture is given by inspiration, isn't it, of the Holy Spirit. And whenever we resist God's Word, we resist His Holy Spirit. And Stephen there was not talking about that inward work of the Holy Spirit, for that is effectual. And that is a permanent thing when God truly transforms and changes a person. When that person is born again, there is that irresistible grace. And God says of them, and they shall be willing in the day of my power. But it is the natural way for the heart, even of some religious people, to resist God's word. Notice the verse 51. Stephen says to these religious Jews in his day, ye stiff-necked and uncircumcised in heart and ears, ye do always resist the Holy Ghost, as your fathers did, so do ye. They resisted the words of the Holy Spirit. And what was Stephen's reward for preaching to them the truth? What did they do? They cruelly stoned this gentle, gracious man to death. That's what they did. Stephen preached the truth. It even says here they were cut in their hearts. But how did they repay him? And how do many men repay God's ministers? They hate them because they preach the truth. Stephen would be the first among many, many martyrs. Even in our country, drive across our land, you'll see all the memorials across England because men preached the truth. They were even put to death. People may not get away with it today, but there'll be people in churches and maybe even here tonight, you hate me because I preach the truth. This is how they repaid Stephen. They stoned Stephen, look at the verse 59, calling upon, and that is Stephen calling upon God and saying, Lord Jesus, receive my spirit. And he kneeled down and cried with a loud voice, lay not this sin to their charge. And when he had said this, he fell asleep. What a gentle and gracious man Stephen was. There he was, warning them to flee from the wrath to come. warning them that their empty works religion would get them nowhere, would only take them to hell. And how was he repaid? He was stoned to death. That was the repayment for his kindness. And even as they were stoning him to death, he prayed to the Lord, "Lord, lay not this sin to their charge." What grace. What grace. Now in this crowd was a man by the name of Saul. Saul of Tarsus, who later, as we have already seen, became the great apostle Paul. It's astonishing, isn't it, how the grace of God so can convert a man. He was a Pharisee of the Jews. He, notice there, was consenting. Read in that earlier verse. Saul was consenting, that is, he was urging these men on to stone Stephen to death. He was there in their presence. In fact, he was the chief coat collector. "Hey guys, take off your coats while you pick up the stones to stone Stephen. I'll take them." And there he was urging them on to put Stephen to death. Notice the verse 58. "And cast him out of the city and stoned him. And the witnesses laid down their coats at a young man's feet whose name was Saul." There he is. And then you move on to the next few verses in the next chapter. We read, "As for Saul," in the verse 3, "he made havoc of the church, entering into every house and hailing men and women, committed them to prison." He not only was there cheering and urging as the chief crowd leader there of the Jews stoning Stephen to death, but he then went on to put men and women into prison, depriving little children of their parents. Many were butchered, killed. You could see the hatred in this man's heart. What was his problem? He hated the gospel. He hated the gospel because the gospel tells you you cannot be saved by your good works. This was his problem as a Pharisee. The Pharisees taught that you can be saved by your so-called good life, by your keeping the law. Do you understand what I'm saying? This is very important. This applies to you. And it applies to me. And that is how everybody in this world thinks. That somehow God on the day of judgment is going to look at everybody and say, "Well, you know, this one's done a little bit more good than the other, and his good works outweigh his bad." No, that's not what the Bible teaches. And that's what the Pharisees taught. And this is why Saul of Tarsus hated the gospel. Because the gospel tells you, and it tells me, we have fallen short of God's law. In fact, God's law tells you that. "Cursed is every man that does not continue in the law." It's found there in Deuteronomy. If you fail at one of God's commandments, you have failed the standard of heaven, and you are fit for hell. That's what the Bible tells you. And it tells me. And that is why they stoned Stephen to death. This is why Paul put people in prison. And this is why churches are empty today. Because people want to hear that they're going to heaven because of some charity run, some faith giving, some church candlelight service, so many years good service in the church, and so on. Good works. And people hate it. And so they can't stone people today. But what do? They leave the church because they don't want the truth. Saul was filled with hatred because of the gospel that Christians preached. And so notice in the chapter 9 in the verse 3, on the road to Damascus. Damascus is, and still is, there today, still there, you can go, and there's still, we're told here in Acts chapter 9, there's a street called Straight. That street is still there today. We read of the rivers of Damascus in 2 Kings chapter 5, where Naaman wanted to be washed instead of the Jordan. It's probably one of the oldest cities in the world, maybe alongside Jericho. But here is Saul, he's determined to put more Christians to death, who are preaching the way to heaven through the Lord Jesus Christ alone. And he's on this road. seeking papers from the chief man in that city to put more Christians to death or in prison. And notice in the verse 3, and as he journeyed, he came near Damascus, and suddenly there shined round about him a light from heaven, and he fell to the earth and heard a voice saying unto him, Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me? And he said, Who art thou, Lord? And he said, I am Jesus, whom thou persecutest. It is hard for thee to kick against the pricks. So that is the occasion of these words. Saul of Tarsus has been putting people into prison, and he's been there watching Christians being stoned to death, ministers, God's ministers, put to death because they are kindly and lovingly bringing the truth to people, but they will not hear it. But what are the meaning of these words? Notice the first part of the statement, I am Jesus, whom thou persecutest. Now, Saul of Tarsus, as far as we understand, never met the Lord Jesus until this time here. And he actually did see him, because we're told that elsewhere, although the others didn't see him. But what does he mean? What does the Lord Jesus mean when he says, I am Jesus whom thou persecutest? Well, you know this, if you know your Bible, that the church of Jesus Christ is what? His bride. And so every Christian belongs to him. It's his bride which he purchased with his blood. And they are born again and they love God and they teach the gospel. And here, any opposition and resistance to Christ's people and his word is opposition to Jesus Christ directly. That's a very solemn thing to think, isn't it? You could be here tonight and there's something in you that hates what I'm saying. And if I'm preaching the truth, you are opposing Jesus Christ. It's a very solemn thing, isn't it? I am Jesus, whom thou persecutest. Remember what the Lord said, He that is not with me is against me. And he that gathereth not with me scattereth abroad. Saul hated not only God's people, but he especially hated the truth. The truth which his ministers preached. And that's why he was persecuting them here. Now really, that is true today. Nothing has really changed. In 2,000 years, nothing has really changed. People oppose Christians and the minister of God's word because they want a different kind of religion. You know, there's basically two kinds of religions in this world. If you were to sum it up, you could look at every religion. They're a religion of works. Islam will tell you you've got to do this and this and this. Sikhism will tell you you've got to do this and this and this. All of those to be right with God. But Christianity says this, salvation is only in Christ and what he has done. And your works count for nothing. My works count for nothing. There are people, many like Saul today, they like coming to church, but they hate the truth. The worst part of the service is the sermon. Especially Sunday nights, because the gospel is preached. Like Saul, they have a form of religion. But you know what? They want to twist the Bible. And they want ministers, they want preachers, they want pastors to twist the Bible to not make them feel so bad. They want ministers to preach things like this. School fetes, charity balls, charity runs. You're saved by your good works. This is the religion today of the Church of England, the Methodists, the Catholics, and even the Baptist unions, by and large. Being a Christian is about being a good person. That's as far as it goes. And somehow at the end of your life, God is going to look at you with some favour. Now, granted, there will be some of those churches amongst those denominations that will preach the truth. That goes without saying. But by and large, friend, it has gone in that direction. And it's a lot easier to sit in a church like that. But it's very hard to kick against the pricks. And whenever we resist the gospel, we kick against the pricks of his word. There are some who would rather have the minister dragged off and replaced by somebody who preaches about charity, good works, anything else but sin and repentance. Here he goes again. Pastor Hetherington ranting on about sin, ranting on about repentance, ranting on about the blood of Jesus Christ, which alone can save us from our sins. Those kind of people believe that man is basically good, and all that you need, all the minister needs to do, is to be some kind of cheerleader who urges you on to harness some of that good that's in you. My friend, there's no good in me, and there's no good in you. Paul said, "In me dwelleth no good thing." Can you say that tonight? In me dwelleth no good thing? I'll tell you this, in me dwelleth no good thing. And the Lord says here to Saul, "I am Jesus, who thou persecutest." And then he says, "It is hard for thee to kick against the pricks." Now, familiar to the Jews in Saul's day was this familiar aphorism, this saying, if you like. If a large beast or an ox was going astray on the road, what you would do is you would use something called a goad to keep him in line, to stop him going in the wrong direction and going off a cliff, or perhaps not ploughing the field straight. And of course it was meant for the beast, for the ox, for the cow, for whatever it was. But here it's turned to Saul. "Saul, it is hard for thee to kick against the pricks." Now an animal, if you prick it with a goad, it's not going to come back and try and fight against it, is it? Unless there's something seriously wrong with the animal. But this is what Paul is doing. And you can imagine this beast kicking with its leg against this stick that is trying to prod it in the right direction. And what Saul is doing is he is kicking against these things of God deliberately. And this is what somebody does, dear friend, when they kick against the gospel. I want to speak about it here tonight. Here this person like Saul is saying, "I will not listen. I will not yield. I know what I believe and what I think is right." But the Lord is speaking from heaven to Saul. And he's saying, "This is hard. This is a serious thing. It's painful. It's agonizing." So what are these goads or pricks? If you turn with me to Ecclesiastes, the chapter 12 and the verse 11. You notice here, Solomon, at the end of his discourse here in this swan song of his, he says in the verse 11, "The words of the wise are as goads," there it is, or pricks, "and as nails fastened by the masters of assemblies, which are given from one shepherd." There you go. These pricks, the words, are as pricks or as goads, given by one shepherd. And of course, who is the shepherd but God himself? And what is the Lord saying here? "Saul, you're kicking against my word." And the warning is, friend, if you choose to kick and kick again against God's word, you will have a most painful experience now. But what is worse is what is yet to come in all of eternity. The painful of experience of everlasting separation. You know, if you choose to live a life of ignoring the way of salvation, that will be painful for you. Because you're going to try to earn your way to God, and what a foolish thing that is. Paul tried to do it. It's a vain thing. How will you ever know whether you've done enough? You never know whether you've done. Of course you can't do enough. You can't pay for your past. But what is worse is you will find you will be in an eternity of hell, the place of everlasting wrath and pain of conscience. And so here is a word for us all tonight. Oh, to know God and to obey the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. We will not be cast away from his presence. on that great day of judgment. Now there are three things here tonight. What was Saul's great problem? Then secondly, why is it hard to kick against the goads? And then thirdly, how was Paul delivered from this problem? What was Paul's great problem? Well, I think I've brought it to your minds already. Paul was kicking against the goads of God's word. We've seen that in Ecclesiastes. Yeah, what are the goads? The pricks of God's word. And let me say this, dear friend, God's word will prick you. If you come to this church every Sunday, and if you are not pricked and troubled, there's something wrong with what I am doing. I'm not preaching God's word. Many people want to come to church and have this, oh, I come to church to feel good. No, you don't. Well, you shouldn't. You should come to church to hear God's word. And when we hear it, it's like a mirror. And it pricks us, doesn't it? But this is what aggravated Paul. Why? Because he had a superficial religious activity of works of religion to go to heaven. That's what he had. And the truth cut to the heart. And that's what you'll get, I hope, every time you come here. But how hard it is to kick against the goats. Because you ignore your conscience every time you come. And God's word says, repent. And you say, no, I won't. I'm good enough. I don't need to repent. Look at what Stephen got. He got murder. What a lovely preacher Stephen was. And he even told them, look, you've recently put to death the just one, is the words that he uses. And who is the just one? The Lord Jesus. Notice what he says in chapter 7, verse 51. He says, ye stiff-necked and uncircumcised in heart and ears, ye do always resist the Holy Ghost as your fathers did, so do ye. Which of the prophets have not your fathers persecuted? It was the Jews that put every single prophet to death. Here the people, supposedly the people of God, but they hate the ministers of God. And they have slain them, which showed before of the coming of the just one, of whom ye have now been now the betrayers and murderers. You've put Christ to death. And what's more, they thought that they obeyed the law, but they had not kept it. The end of verse 33. And have not kept it. The law was given to you, but you've not been keepers of the law. You are breakers of the law. How dare you say you are justified by keeping the law? No, you're breakers of God's law. You see, Saul was self-righteous. And that's how, my friend, everybody is until they come to Christ. Until they are converted, everyone is self-righteous. Not just the Jews. But Saul knew. He knew Deuteronomy 27, 26 in the Old Testament, which says, cursed be he that confirmeth or continueth not in all the words of this law to do them. God said, you know, here's my law, and the man that doesn't fulfill this law is cursed. And that means all of us. This is why Paul went on later in Galatians 3:10 to say, for as many as are of the works of the law are under the curse. For it is written, cursed is everyone that continueth not in all things which are written in the book of the law to do them. But you see, human pride says, I don't like it. Because God, you're painting a picture of me that I don't like. I want myself to be thought of as a good man, as a good woman. And that's what aggravated Paul. Because he was being told he was a sinner and no better than the Gentile dogs. You know, later on in years, when he was in prison, he wrote to the Philippians from jail in Rome, awaiting his execution for preaching the gospel. It's interesting, isn't it? This same man that was there consenting at the death of Stephen would himself be put to death for the sake of the gospel. You see, because the gospel was so precious to him. He said this in Philippians 3:4, if any other man thinketh he hath whereof he might trust in the flesh, that is confidence in himself, I the more, circumcised the eighth day, of the stock of Israel, of the tribe of Benjamin, and Hebrew of the Hebrews, as touching the law, a Pharisee. Concerning zeal, persecuting the church. That's what I did. Touching the righteousness which is the law, blameless. At least that's what I thought I was. But what things were gained to me, those I counted loss for Christ. Yea, doubtless I count all things but loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things, and do count them dung. Oh, there's a strong word. Skubala is the Greek word. Animal refuse. That's the word he uses. But do count them but dung, that I may win Christ. My works, they were, as Isaiah said, filthy, stinking, rotten, dirty rags. And then he writes to Titus in Titus 3:5 and says, not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to his mercy, he saved us. You see, Paul eventually saw it. He stopped kicking against the goads. Saul was kicking against the goads of God's word. The goads of the Old Testament. And he continued to do it until the Lord stopped him. It is hard for thee to kick against the pricks. Now, I know this, and you know this. I've seen many and talked to many who profess to be Christians. Maybe even some here. I try and speak to you lovingly and tell you of the way of salvation. But all I get back are hard looks. Now, I've never had anything as bad as Stephen. But I'm not surprised. Because this is the condition of the human heart. This is the natural condition. But you know what? Stephen just preached the truth. Until he died. He was willing to die for it. Because it's the truth. And my friend, it's hard for thee to kick against the pricks. Your hard, cold face will not change my mind. Because God's word is God's word and it's settled. The psalmist says, Lord, forever in the heavens thy word is settled. Nothing could move Stephen from preaching the truth. And then when Paul faced opposition, nothing could turn Paul from preaching the truth. It's hard for thee to kick against the pricks. You go back to Acts 7, the verse 54. Notice what we read earlier. It says, when they heard these things, that is the Jews whom Stephen was preaching to, they were cut to the heart. But what did they do? Look. And they gnashed on him with their teeth. They were cut inside here. Because it was the truth. But what was their response? They gnashed on him with their teeth. You can imagine the gritted teeth. And then later on you read how they rushed toward him with stones and put him to death. But how different that was to the day of Pentecost. When Peter preached the truth. You remember Peter on that great day of Pentecost. When he was preaching in Acts 2, the verse 37, it says this. Now when they heard this, that is, as he preached the gospel, they were pricked in their heart and said unto Peter and to the rest of the apostles, men and brethren, what shall we do? What a different response. And then Peter said unto them, repent and be baptized every one of you in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, and ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. You see, what a different response. You can be cut to the heart and gnash and rail at the preacher. Or you can be cut to the heart and repent. My friend, it is hard to kick against the pricks. Pricks won't go because they're God's word. Some will be humbled. Some will retaliate and be irate. But the pricks won't go. Saul got angry with Christians. Saul is a proud man. Trusting in his religious works of salvation by works. And you know, the whole world is full of people like that. And if you think like that, you're no different to anybody else. People are trying to be their own little saviour. There's only one saviour. Why do you call him saviour if he's not your saviour? Cursed, my friend, is anyone that does not continue in the law. There's none that are righteous. And it's hard, my friend, to kick against the pricks. Why couldn't Paul see this? You know why? He didn't want to see it. He was willfully blind. This is how people are today. Willfully blind. I don't want to believe it. Because I'm going to have to humble myself. he rejected the gospel. Instead, he urged men to kill God's preachers and to put Christians away. What a terrible thing. Maybe, you see, you put Christians away in your mind. Whenever they start to talk about, you quickly change the subject. You put them away. You put them out of sight. You put the things of God away. You're happy to be in a religious environment like this, but you put away the things of God. And you keep them at an arm's distance. My friend, it's hard to kick against the pricks. Pricks won't go away. Dear friend, it's hard to kick against God's ghost. Well, why is it hard? Firstly, this is the goad of God's word, isn't it? It's the goad of God's word, and it hurts because it speaks the truth. And I thank God his word does speak the truth. And I'm so thankful to the God of heaven who has caused me to hurt on many, many occasions. And it's every day, in fact, when I read his word. I see how far short I come of it. But we mustn't resist it. The more you resist, the more you will be exposed by it. That's another thing. The more you resist God's word, the more he will expose you and me for our sinful nature. Could you imagine the ox kicking against that sharp prick? What's it exposing? Every time he lifts up his leg, it's exposing a stubborn animal. And every time we do that, we are exposing our sin. And we just make it harder for ourselves. Another reason why it's hard to kick against the pricks. The prick doesn't change. God's word doesn't change, does it? It won't become more blunt. And as we read in Ecclesiastes, as goads or as pricks, as nails fastened by the masters of assemblies. They are fastened there. The psalmist says, Lord, forever thy word is settled in heaven. You're not going to change God's word. I'm not going to change God's word. There's nothing you can do about it. Friend, you are his creature. God's not going to change. The church today might try to change God's word. But he won't. It's hard to kick against the pricks. Because God's word does not change. The prick doesn't move. Also, it's hard to kick against the goads of the gospel because the gospel speaks of the only way to be saved. You know, the Bible says there's no other name under heaven given amongst men whereby we must be saved. And that's hard for people. They don't want to hear it. But what about your good works? That'll be no good. There was only one ever good enough to pay for sin. And that's the Lord Jesus. And you know, the gospel will judge you. Romans 2, we read in the verse 16, in the day, Paul says, when God shall judge the secrets of men by Jesus Christ according to my gospel. And Paul calls it his gospel because he preached that gospel. And you know, the gospel is going to judge people. Because the law says, you cannot be saved by me, because you've broken me. But the gospel, which says, in the gospel there's a righteousness for the sinner, which he may have by faith, by believing upon Christ and repenting. And you say, gospel, I don't want it. I don't want to repent. You'll be judged by it. There's something else. You know, God's ministers are goads as well. You go back to what I read in Ecclesiastes, the words of the wise, not that I'm wise in my own self, friend, but the words of the wise are as goads. And what do we as God's ministers preach? So you drag me out of this pulpit the day I stop preaching the truth, friend. And God's men are as goads. And remember what the Lord said to Saul here. Why persecutest thou me? You've just put one of my ministers to death. It is hard to kick against the goads. Oh yes, you may try to put Stephen to death. But he'll be with me. You see the Lord Jesus standing there in heaven, receiving Stephen up into heaven. And you know why it's hard to kick against the goads? Because God's ministers, by the grace of God, are prepared to be stoned to death for the truth of God's word. And you're never going to change me, my friend. Never. We are saved by this word. And this is the only word that saves a man. And we are prepared to die for it because of the one that died for us. And those who are prepared to die for the truth by the grace of God will not change for you or for anyone else. It is hard, my friend, to kick against the goads. You come up against this goad, there's going to be another goad. By the grace of God. Or maybe he'll stop giving you these goads. So how was Paul delivered from this terrible heart problem that he had? And how is any sinner delivered from this kicking against the goads? Well, I'll tell you one thing, it cannot be done by man. It cannot be done by man. Impossible. Can the leopard change his spots, we read in the Word of God, or the Ethiopian his skin? No. Can't change it. But only God can change. What happened to Saul of Tarsus? There on that road to Damascus, as he's heading now for Damascus to put away Christians and to deal with them ruthlessly as beasts. The Lord, with a great light, comes and says, Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me? The Lord met with him. And the only way God or man will be changed, should I say, is when God comes to meet with that person in his heart and speaks to them in a powerful way and shows them what they're doing is foolish and foolhardy. And I would say, my friend, by the grace of God, have you heard the Lord speaking tonight softly, gently, in your heart? Not audibly, of course. But has he been speaking by this goad of this sermon? This pathetic sermon of this poor, unable minister here tonight? Well, if he has, he's been saying, friend, you are offending me because you reject my gospel and you reject my minister of my word. Poor as he is, as feeble as he is, you're offending me. I'm seeking to be kind to you. Could you imagine that beast going down the road and he's heading down for a cliff and the man is trying to poke this animal and to stop it from going down the cliff. And the animal is just kicking against. Who's the kind one? Is it not the one with the prick? It's funny, you know how we see things at times. The hand that feeds you, the hand that's trying to do you good, the person that's trying to show you kindness and the way, is the one that is hurt the most. Often I go home many Sunday nights with pictures of people's faces in my mind. And often I don't get sleep because I see faces of anger, faces of indifference. But you know, this is all done in hope that one may be spoken to by the Lord. The Lord comes and as he does here, he speaks to Saul. He says, Saul, stop. You're only hurting yourself. It's hard to kick against these things. These things won't change, Saul. This is my word. These are my ministers. This is the truth. And the Lord comes and he speaks. Friend, is he speaking softly and gently into your heart tonight? to say that the Lord Jesus is the way. He is the truth. He is the life. Oh, and look what happened. When Saul heard the Lord, what did he do? He trembled. And he was astonished. There was a sense that, oh, what have I been doing? The Lord from heaven is speaking now. And then he says, what wilt thou have me to do? Lord, I want to be thy servant now. I don't want to resist. And you see, that's what happens when we're converted. But the Lord has to come and deal with us. This is how we are by nature. We're brute beasts going down a valley of destruction on that broad path to hell. Until the Lord comes and he has mercy. And he saves that one. Will the Lord do that for you as he did for me? We preach this truth, friends, because God did it for us. How could we not preach the truth? How could we not be moved to speak of what Christ has done for sinners? We would have to be heartless people to not preach the truth. And that's the difference, my friend, with the nominal church of today, where you've got men that are standing up in pulpits that have not been saved. They've never seen themselves to be enemies of God like Saul, like me. And when they say the Lord has come, well, he's met with them. And then they want to tell others about the truth. But let me say, friend, it is hard to kick against the goads. You're only going to cause pain to yourself now and further pain in the life that is yet to come. Do you tonight, by God's grace, feel the weight of your sin and has he melted your eyes to tears to cry out to the Lord Jesus, Lord, forgive me. And then you say to him, Lord, what wilt thou have me to do? What did they hear from the words of Peter as he spoke? He said, repent. Repent and believe the gospel. That was the first the Lord began to preach in his ministry. Repent and believe the gospel. Believe the good news. It's good news, isn't it? That we don't have to work our way to heaven. That heaven is earned for us. All as a free gift. I can't think of any better news than that tonight. Paul could say, this is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptation, that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners. He didn't say, this is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptation, that Christ Jesus came into the world to save righteous men. No, because there are none that are righteous. Righteous men don't need saving, because you could never convince them that they need saving. Has God saved you? Oh, dear friend, it's hard to kick against the pricks, but may God arrest you in your mad career of a self-righteous kind of religion in saving yourself. Don't persecute Christ, because you do when you kick against his gospel and when you kick against his minister's word as they preach his word. Oh, may God speak to our hearts by the overture of his grace. Amen.